It is time to get our view from the middle on this eve of the true madness. Find his work for USA Today online, usatoday.com, excuse me. Especially this time of year, they provide that awesome tournament coverage. Their Monday preview stays with me always. Follow on Twitter. Use the handle at George Schroeder. George, happy March Madness to you. How you doing?
Man, I'm good. How are you? I know. By the way, I'm really surprised that you're at Sam's place.
Yeah. Didn't see that one coming, did you?
not surprised. That's like your second home, I think.
It is, and it's scary because I live really close to here, so sometimes late at night I wander in here and take a nap on one of their pool tables. But
yeah,
that's
we didn't need to know that, man. Come on.
Story for another day. let's begin with my annual statement. Teams like Syracuse, you had 4 months to make your case. You don't lose so many games, or for those that felt they should have been seeded higher, my comment is always, look, you're in, you're going to get your chance. I actually think the selection committee was really on the money again. So when you look at this field, do you buy any of the snub or illogical seeding talk?
Well, that's a two-part question. The first thing is, I don't ever get worked up about somebody getting left out of a tournament that has 68 teams.
Right.
I mean, if you want to get worked up about the number five team in a four-team college football playoff, I think there's a whole lot more reason to get worked up about that some years, or even the six, seven, or eight team that feels like it should have been in. But, I mean, we're talking about, you know, the team that at best is the 36th best team. 32, what, conference, you know, automatic qualifiers, 36
yep.
At-large teams. And you're basically being told, we thought we were number 32 or 33 or whatever. Now, obviously, in reality, you're deeper than number 36 in the country because some or many of those automatic qualifiers from that other 32 would have been ranked ahead of you, too. And so it's hard for me to get all upset about that. If you couldn't get your team to be any better than that, I mean, Syracuse's RPI, just to take them specifically because they're the team this year, you know, their RPI was 84. If they didn't have Syracuse across those orange jerseys and they didn't have and they weren't, you know, an ACC team, would we really be even talking about them? I mean, come on. That's how I feel about that. And then in answer to your second part of your wonderful multiple part question, Steve, I would say this. I do think they screwed up a few seeds, but I also think they watch more basketball than any of us all year long. I mean, I think that I think Arizona had a real good shot and reason to be number one. I think Oregon and UCLA especially both had real good shots to be number two. I'm not really upset about any of those three seedings. And obviously the Oregon seeding, I do believe, is impacted not so much by the loss in the final, but by what the committee thinks Oregon's ceiling might be without Chris Boucher. And we may get into that here in a minute. And then I think they overseeded some of the Big Ten, which, you know, frankly, hadn't been very good this year. But look, they're in the tournament. You get to go play. So I'm not real fired up about it one way or the other.
Another general question. I think those one-bid leagues who have to play tonight or last night get a raw deal. They won their automatic bid, whether just like Duke or Arizona, and they deserve to be a part of the magnificence that is Thursday and Friday. I would love to see these play-in games reserved for the real bubble at large teams.
Yeah, I would too.
You like that at all? What do you think about that?
Yeah, I do. And you've sort of seen them move towards more of that. You know, basically half of them now are 11 seeds, or let's play to get the 11 seeds. That's the way it ought to be. Whatever you decide sort of the lowest at large seed is going to be, that'd be the one that you ought to play. You know, let's say that it's always 11, right? That's sort of the lowest at large seed. Let's just reserve that for your lowest at large seeding and just say, we're going to play those off in the first four every year. And if you won your conference tournament or you were the automatic qualifier, however your conference does it, and I do think they all do it by conference tournaments now, but if you're the automatic qualifier, you ought to get to go directly to the real site. Because as fun as the first four is, it doesn't feel like the same deal. Because it's not.
No.
It's not the same deal as going to the tournament. I mean, look, in terms of the money, I think the unit is the same to participate, but it's not the same as being in the field of 64.
No, and the reason I said this, and I never thought about it much, George, but when the Rose Garden was able to host the first rounds. Yeah. I had never been, and I went, and to just see all the teams, their bands, their pep squads, the parents, and all of that, and it was like they earned the right to be a part of that, not the one night in Dayton. And it kind of changed my opinion. You know, you've been many, many times, but when I saw that the first time, my first thought was, that's not fair that these little teams can't be a part of Thursday or Friday and have to play on Tuesday or Wednesday.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, look, we're talking about 15, 16 seeds, and 15 seeds occasionally win, obviously. No 16 seed ever has. But we're talking about the tiny one-bid league where just getting the tournament is like the whole goal every year, and it's really hard to do because only one team from your 10-team league or whatever it is gets there. I mean, that's the deal. And then if you pull off an upset or you play close to mighty so-and-so for a while, it's all the better. But it's all about getting there, going through the process, doing the open practice day, doing the where, you know, the fans are in the arena, going through these interviews and these sessions that you'll never do again, and then kind of having then getting to play the game where the ball gets tipped off and all these people are in the arena and you're playing, you know, again, mighty so-and-so. That's part of the deal. That's you know, as much as a program like Oregon is trying to get to the Final Four and maybe to win the thing, a program like, you know, North Carolina Central is playing tonight against UC Davis, their deal is just being in the tournament. It sure would be nice if they were in the tournament right now rather than playing to get in there.
No, we're on the same page there as we continue with George Schroeder, USA Today. In the Midwest bracket synopsis, you pick some upsets, some sleepers, and, of course, a lot of info on the 16 programs and who you like to win it all. Interesting call. I like your angle on who is your sleeper. Well, not in the classic sense. Who did you pick, and what was your thought process?
Well, I thought about Iowa State, which is the 5 seed. I think they've got a really nice shot to get past Purdue and get into the Sweet 16, Purdue being the 4. And then they'd run into Kansas, which would be kind of cool from a Kansas City. That's sort of a Big 12 tournament matchup in Kansas City every year. But I chose the 3 seed, which most of your listeners probably know. That's the Oregon Ducks. And the reason, first of all, I'm not sure a 3 seed can qualify as a sleeper. But I already kind of referenced this earlier. I think they fell from a probable 2 to a 3 because of the injury to Chris Boucher in the semifinals of the Pac-12 tournament. And so I think a lot of people have sort of suddenly written them off. I mean, I think a lot of people thought they had Final Four potential. You and I have talked on this show.
Yep.
I think they had potential to win the whole thing. Certainly I thought they had Final Four potential when they were at full strength. And now I think none of us really know. There's definitely a ripple effect. He was so important on both ends of the floor as a rim protector, as a rebounder on both ends, and then as an offensive player stretching the floor from the perimeter. It was so important to them, and it made everything better for everybody else. He opened up, you know, lanes by being out there on the corner, you know, where he can hit a 3. That pulls a big man out and opens lanes for all those interchangeable-looking guys that Oregon has to drive and score. Well, now they don't have him. And so, obviously, that's a huge blow. And so I think a lot of people have sort of discounted Oregon's chances. And I think that's fair in reality until we see different. But here's what I thought. They still have all those other guys who can flat out play. You know, he wasn't the best player on the team. We'd have to kind of figure it out if we want to do a ranking. And there may not be a coach in this tournament that I trust more than Dana Altman. If there is a solution to sort of reconfigure a team on the fly after an injury like that, I think Dana Altman's the kind of guy that can do it. So he gets, you know, 5 days to do it or whatever it was. I think if there's a guy who can pull that off, it's him. So,
yeah, I didn't consider Boucher a deal breaker, just food for thought.
Right, fair enough. And so, but I think a lot of people have thought to themselves, okay, I thought this was the kind of team that could win it all. Like, for example, my pick now to win it all is Arizona, because I think they've really got it going. Trier obviously got it going in the second half of the season after it took him a while to integrate and get knocked the rust off, and then there were some people that got affected when he joined the lineup, and suddenly they didn't play as well because it sort of changed everything they did. Well, now all of a sudden Lauri Markkanen is flat out playing, and he is a tough load everywhere on the floor, as Oregon found out. You get those two guys firing, I think that's as good as anybody has. And that's what we're talking about, all those other places.
Yep.
So I've got Arizona winning the whole thing. But I actually thought UCLA had a shot to win the whole thing, and I actually liked Oregon the best of those three teams until Chris got hurt. So
you know, every year, it's amazing. The team I always agonize over is Kansas. First of all, they won their conference. You know they're going to be a high seed. We hear about the value of guard play. And, you know, Devontae Graham, Frank Mason. Actually, it's like they have 2-point guards. What pops about this team that you think they can or will advance from this region?
Well, they're tough. I mean, first of all, they're really tough. They're battle-hardened from a really good league. I mean, the Big 12 didn't have maybe as many elite teams as they've had in the last couple of years. You know, Oklahoma was way down. Obviously, that was one of the two or three elite teams they had last year, along with Kansas. But they were really deep. It was a deep league where the bad teams, in terms of records, would give you fits. And I'm not sure there's another league quite like that other than the ACC, which obviously had more of the good teams. So I think they're tough. They're battle-hardened. They won a bunch of close games. And they did it because they've got big-time leadership in Frank Mason. And I think a big-time point guard who's savvy and who can flat score, which he can do, is a huge asset in this tournament. Now, here's what they're not. They're not exceptionally big inside, and they're not exceptionally deep. So while Josh Jackson, the big 6'8 freshman forward, he's really more of a guard, is a phenomenal player, probably going to be a top five NBA pick. And so you add him and Mason together, and then Devontae Graham's another big-time scorer at guard. That's a really nice starting point. You know, they basically got Landon Lucas, and that's about it on the inside, the Portland kid who's been there a while now. And so they're not deep and they're not big. So I'd be worried about them from that standpoint if any of their key players gets into foul trouble or if they run into a team that's got really an effective inside game. That said, I think that toughness and just sort of their guard play gives them a shot to take it a long, long way.
And by the way, let's add a late development to the Kansas problem. I picked them to play in the national championship game. So
that is a problem for them. You're right. I mean, that's like the death knell for their shot. Man, they'll probably lose in the first round now that you've done that.
First ever one to go.
Right. To whoever, to the winner of tonight's North Carolina Central UC Davis game. You heard it here first, and it's all because you picked them to play in the game.
Unbelievable. Let's get to the blue blood bracket. Carolina, Kentucky, UCLA in the South. I think Butler is interesting. They beat Villanova twice. I like Cincinnati a lot. We've got an interesting 12-5 Middle Tennessee and Minnesota. What's your read on who will vie for and come out of this region?
Well, I mean, I think North Carolina probably comes out of the region, but I think I chose UCLA because I think they're really – no, I chose North Carolina. But I think UCLA, North Carolina is probably your regional final. And I think UCLA is the kind of team that could go a long, long way or they could, like, throw up a clunker. I think they've kind of – you know, but they're really talented. And Lonzo Ball is so good that if we can get his dad, you know, somebody stuff a sock in his mouth for a couple of weeks here, it'll be a fun tournament just watching that kid play. But they're really good. North Carolina's probably been the best team, you know, over the course of the season against the toughest overall schedule, probably. And I realize they're not the overall number one, Villanova is. But I think North Carolina's the best team. But that is sort of this year's region of death, I guess. Isn't that what you call it? What is it? What is it when you're talking about the World Cup? It's a something of death.
Now you got me fooled. We need either Nick or Alex to chime in here. They're the soccer guys.
So come on, man. You know about football.
By the way, I will throw this in. I went berserk in that region, and I picked Cincinnati, the sixth seed, to win it all.
Well, there you go. I mean, to win it all, or you mean just to get out of the region?
Just to make the Final Four. I have them pulling off the miracle run, beat UCLA, Kentucky, and Carolina in one region. So you heard that insanity here.
That would be
here,
good.
Who do you have?
Trying to pick brackets that are a little bit different that maybe will help you win the actual bracket pool. And I would tell you that that's kind of what that feels like to me more than reality.
Well, with me and my brackets, reality never meets. So let's get to we've got your picks there. So you have your Final Four, your national championship game, and your champ. Who's it going to be?
I've got Villanova winning the whatever that is, the East. I've got Arizona winning the West, And I do have them playing off against Gonzaga in the regional final. I think Gonzaga is legit. So it's just that I just think Arizona's playing really, really well. I think I've got Kansas and North Carolina. So I'm going basically chalk. But frankly, it's all chalk in my mind because I think Arizona is essentially the fifth number one. I realize they were the sixth overall seed. But I think they're probably interchangeable as a number one. And I think it'll be Arizona, North Carolina, and I don't know why. I just went with Arizona as the winner. So well, that just guarantees there are going to be four completely other teams in the Final Four. That's all that matters. That's all it means.
Well, George, it doesn't get much more fun than this. I know you're off to Tulsa. You travel safe. Enjoy yourself. Hope you get some great games. And we'll see how we did up to this point next Wednesday, sir. Thanks, as always, for your time.
All right. My bracket will be busted by about 2 p.m. Thursday, probably. That's how that works.
Nice one, George. Have a good one.
All right. Thanks.
All right. All right. Take it easy.